Good afternoon. My name is Muqing Yan. I'm a third-year PhD student from Texas A&M University. My topic is applying genotyping by sequencing technology on ROSA species, specifically its diploid ROSA species. ROSA is considered as one of the most important landscape and ornamental plants in the U.S. When we talk about roses, there are so many interesting traits in rose breeding. So which trait should we look at if we are doing rose breeding? So we did this survey. Based on the graph, we can see disease resistance was considered as the number one important trait of rose breeding. Among all the diseases, black spot disease is one of the most severe leaf disease of garden roses, causing rose defoliation. The causal agent of black spot is called diblocarbon rosae. It's an ascomycete, so it's a fungal disease. So far, 11 races of diblocarbon rosae have been identified. In plants, there are both vertical and horizontal resistance. In roses, three major vertical resistance strains have been identified, namely RDR1, RDR2, and RDR3. They are corresponding to specific races of diblocarbon rosae. Our lab is interested in horizontal resistance because we believe horizontal resistance is more stable than vertical resistance, because the theory behind horizontal resistance is we have many different genes. They act all together with major or minor effects to fight against the disease. So even though we may have new risk of this causal agent, we can still have pretty stable disease resistance. Here's the phenotyping work of our research. We did the disease resistance characterization in our germplasm. First, we want to identify whether we have vertical major resistance strain in our germplasms. We use the three different races, which correspond to specifically vertical resistance strains. However, we didn't see as this nice picture from a new from a very nice publication showed here. We didn't see any one-to-one segregation ratio, so this indicated that we don't have any vertical resistance strain in our germplasm. However, we did saw this is actually a nice phenotyping work from one of our graduate students, Dr. Tianli Dong. She already graduated. She found a very nice segregating disease, horizontal disease resistance in our germplasms. So now I can do genotyping work. So far, many genetic maps have been developed in roses. Markers such as AFLP, SSR, SNPs, and ALFLP, so many markers have been used. In my work, I'm interested in using SNP markers to create genetic maps. Next generation sequencing technology is being widely used to create thousands of SNPs. This is a flow chart showing very detailed steps of this technique. I'm not going to detail about this. If you feel interested, you can ask me after the meeting. There are three different objectives in my research. Number one, I want to do SNP marker generation. By utilizing genotyping by sequencing technology, we can have millions of reads, and after we align those reads to reference genome, we can have thousands of SNP markers. The pipeline we used to align our reads to reference genome and have initial SNP calls was CLC Genomics Workbench. It's a software we use. Based on that, we can identify SNP markers. And later, by using informative and polymorphic SNP markers, we will generate linkage maps for different individual populations, and later we're going to combine those populations to create SNP-based deployed consensus map using JoinMap4 software. Now they've already updated this software to JoinMap 4.1, so we are considering upgrade our software package. The next step is to discover QTL, the quantitative trait loci, which is responsible for our black spot disease resistance. I will combine both phenotypic data and the genotypic data to map for the QTL. The last step would like to validate the QTL. We know we may find a QTL, but can we find the same QTL in different germplasm or in different locations or even in different seasons? maybe not. So we feel interested in testing this. We will use other independent population as our new sources to validate our QTLs, or we can use other traits to validate our QTL. The materials I'm using, they are all deployed mapping materials. So totally, I have 7 populations or families. We know in order to do mapping work, we need to create segregating populations. So we made a crosses from 1 disease resistance breeding line. We cross it with 1 susceptible commercial cultivar in order to create the segregating population. And we did have all these populations. We can see in the third column, the population size is not very big. You may ask a question, will such a small population size work? Our answer is it may work because we do have fertility and germination issue in roses. Because roses is highly interspecific and highly heterozygous, we just cannot control them. Because for some crosses, even though we did the cross, we may have no seeds, all of them. So it's a problem. And since our families, they are related to each other based on the pedigree, we can later combine all 7 different populations to create consensus map. So it's not going to be a problem. Well, I already sequenced all 7 populations. For the first 3 populations, I sequenced them and I already had the sequencing result. And I used the CLC Genomics Workbench to call the SNPs and already screened for informative SNPs markers. And I already have the map draft for my linkage map. I will show you later. But for the last 4 populations, I only have the sequencing result. So I still need to analyze for SNP markers. Maybe genotyping by sequencing technology is very popular now and it's kind of easy for major crops, but it's still a new technique for roses because not so many people are working on roses. Before I really started my mapping work, I was optimizing the protocol and try to see how enzyme work and how my DNA extraction methods going to change my results. I tested the 3 different restriction digestion enzymes and different DNA extraction methods because, as you may remember in that flow chart showing the steps doing the GBS, we first step, we need to have high quality DNA. And based on that, we will digest our genomic DNA using restriction enzyme. So I tested the 3 methylation sensitive enzymes, FSC1, NGOMIV, and NAG1. They are all methylation sensitive. Why I use the methylation sensitive enzymes? It's because we tried to avoid a highly repetitive sequence. Because we believe the usually highly methylation region, they have highly repetitive fragments of DNA. They are not necessary corresponding to the functional gene. So what we are looking for is real functional and informative SNPs markers, which may link to functional gene. And also I tried different DNA extraction methods. I'm not complaining here, but there's one clean kit I would not use forever. It's called Zymon Clean Concentrate Kit from Zymon Research. I don't know why, I just couldn't use that kit. Every time I used that kit, I couldn't have my library constructed. I have no idea why it's that. And after that, we have our sequencing results. We aligned the reads to both rose context and the strawberry genome. Well, based on the rose context here, we can see the majority of the reads, it's about 90% were mapped to the rose context. So which gave us confidence that we're working with real rose DNA, not other contaminants nor bacteria or fungus. So it's a good sign. And based on the strawberry genome alignment results, we found for the second enzyme, the NGO enzyme, about 50 to 60% were mapped to strawberry genome. So we ended up with using NGO enzyme as our digestion enzyme. Later, we used the strawberry genome as our reference genome. The reason for this is, though we can see we have very good percentage mapping results to the rose context, but since we don't have any pseudo chromosome information or gene annotation information for rose context, but we do have strawberry genome annotation information and pseudo chromosome information, So we think strawberry genome is a very good guide for us to do rose mapping. So that's why we chose strawberry genome. Here's several SNP markers information and the results. This table showed I had initial SNP calls from CLC genomic workbench. The number of SNPs started with 23,000 markers. So it's a very good number to work with. After that, I excluded some bad and questionable SNP markers. Now we are down to 3,000 to 4,000 SNP markers. I removed the SNPs based on my own criteria. You can always set up your own criteria to do your SNP marker selection. I removed the SNPs if both parents are homozygous, if one or both parents have no calls, or if too many progeny in that population have too many missing data, or if the segregation ratio is too skewed, or if any progeny have allele cause not present in the parental genotypes. And now we are down to 2,000 to 3,000 SNP markers, and I'm using these markers to create linkage maps. And I'm using JoinMap4 software. Based on their manual, they have certain coding formats. Like for heterozygous diploid species, like ROSA species, we can have up to 4 different alleles segregating. So in JoinMap4 CP population, they code this kind of segregation genotypes into LL cross with LM or AB cross with CD, HK cross with HK, and NN cross with NP, etc. I'm not going and talk too much about it, but you can always see that in their manual. And later I input my data into software, and we chose CP population, cross-pollination population, as our parameter. And then I chose my linkage groups. Since we already know for ROSA species, we have 7 different linkage groups. So just based on the grouping trees, I selected those 7 linkage groups, and the LOD value for this is 12. It's very high. And later we can just create maps. I use the LOD value equals to 5, and I use the ConZombies mapping function and the regression mapping method. Well, there's actually 2 mapping methods. One is regression, and the other one is maximum likelihood. But for JoinMap4 version, we cannot do maximum likelihood on CP population. So that's why we are considering update our software to JoinMap4.1. Now here comes my map. It's just a map draft for the linkage group 2 of one of my populations. Well, it's not a very reliable map because we know there's still going to be so many questionable markers, and the markers order may seem weird, or we have so many redundant markers mapped to the same position. So I'm still adjusting the map and the markers in this map. So yeah, it's not like one thing, you just click the button, then voila, you have the result. It's not like that. Yeah, we have to spend so much time on it. And here's a nice paper showing the corresponding relationship between autotetraploid rose and strawberry genomes relationship. Interestingly, we saw the very similar trend in our research too. Like for example, as I mentioned, we use the strawberry genome as our reference genome. So the SNPs markers called based on the Fragaria is strawberry. Based on strawberry pseudochromosome 1, those SNP markers were mapped to my diploid ROSA species linkage group 5 and linkage group 7, and etc. Like strawberry pseudochromosome 3 corresponds to my linkage group 4. So it's very exciting. My future work. I will continue optimizing current maps to achieve the best coverage and realistic marker position. I will create maps of other 4 families we just had our sequencing results back. Keep using JoinMap4 software. I will initiate black spot QTL analysis using MapQTL and FlexQTL software. We will later utilize identified informative SNP markers to map other QTL related traits, such as heat tolerance or plant architecture. There's another 2 graduate students working on those traits. I will try to validate those QTLs using other independent populations. And last, I'd like to thank the following institutes and funding sources. And I'd like to take any questions. Okay, so the question was whether black spot disease was already occurred in ancient roses or just a new problem. So actually, black spot disease is very common since so many years. And actually, we've worked on black spot disease resistance for several years already. Mm-hmm. And recently, yeah, there's new disease coming, but black spot is very old. Thank you. And the chief. So the question was, am I going to anchor my linkage groups using SSR markers? Yes, because there is a publication using, they identify several anchor SSR markers to create the consensus map. So we will gonna use those anchor SSR markers to try to relate my work to their consensus map. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so the question was, how did I get my linkage map? How did I put my markers in order on that map? So I used the regression methods. So it's based on the linkage relationship between those markers and the recombination between those markers. So the software calculates that for you.
Okay. So with that in mind, I'm not so surprised at all that you found some markers co-segregated, mm-hmm. because you have relatively small individual population Correct. Size, so relatively few crossing overs that you sampled. I'm actually surprised you didn't find more instances, from what I see of your map, of markers that completely co-segregated. Mm-hmm. Could you comment on that? Was it surprising to you to see just a few markers that co-segregated?
Well, we saw, so the question was whether it's common to see I have few markers co-segregate with each other. My comment would be, yes, our population size is very small, and this may affect our mapping resolution. But I mean, for me, the map looks fine to me, because based on several published genetic maps of roses, we can see their average distance between markers are around 3 to 5 centimorgan. But for most of my maps, it's only around 1 or less than 1 centimorgan. So I think it's a pretty good map.
Okay, let's thank all the presenters.